Thanks for joining the podcast with Tamara Gondor. Conversations with everyday innovators that reject status quo, think differently, and make a positive difference in their world. Listen in so you can ignite innovation, influence others, and make an impact too. And now your host, CrossFit addict, knee-high sock lover, and according to her kids, average cook, Tamara Gondor.
Hello, hello, Tamara here. Welcome to the Friday wrap-up, January 21st. All right, so these Friday wrap-ups are all about kind of reviewing the incredible everyday innovator interviews that we had over the week. We had some just absolutely incredible people this week, everything from an administrative assistant at a credit union to an innovation and visual strategist, to a lead in the sales world, so and an alopecia advocate. So we had some amazing interviews this week. The point of this is not to regurgitate what they said, but actually pull out some nuggets of wisdom and expand on them and share with you how I've tested them in my own work and life and give you ways to put the ahas and the insights that you're getting into action. The whole point of this is to experiment, learn, grow, and innovate together. So I can't wait to hear your thoughts on any of our social media platforms. Let me know what you've learned, what you've implemented, how it's helped elevate your game, all of that good stuff. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to dig into what I learned over the week and what you can take out of it. Like I said, what action you can take, what action I took, and give you some other layers, some other nuggets on top of it that I bring to the table for my 25 plus years of work. Incredible everyday innovator interviews this week. So let's start with Monday and work our way through. So Monday was Savannah Givens. Now, Savannah is an administrative assistant at a credit union. I met her actually while I was keynoting, while I was on the road in Minnesota. And she came up to me after and shared this great story of innovation about how she had this challenge at work, this thing, this process that was frustrating her, and she wanted to figure out a better way. And how many of us have those moments where we just think, oh, there's got to be a better way? I think that's kind of a theme in innovation, don't you? Well, Savannah took action on that. Now, Savannah is an inquisitive risk taker. So the inquisitive side of her is all about innovation, the questions, not the answer. It's all about digging, challenging assumption, pulling back the layers of the onion. She does that so well. The risk taker side of her is all about getting uncomfortable and innovating best in those uncomfortable moments. So the inquisitive risk taker brings deep, bold innovation to the table. And I love her example of, you know, having this frustration at work and realizing there's got to be a better way and then solving it, saving the company a lot, not just in money, but in time as well. But it's all because she sat there and went, hey, hold on, this isn't good enough. This is costing us a lot of energy that it doesn't need to. There has to be a better way. If you go back and listen to the podcast, you'll hear her story and the specifics about how she did it. The part I want to pull out is she made this great point in the interview that really got my eyes wide. And she said, the mistake that particularly young leaders make, people like in her position, is that they go to leadership with this, you know, big grandiose idea. And that's it, just the idea. And her advice to young leaders, and I think it applies to all of us, is that if we really want to get buy-in for ideas, we've got to go that extra mile, to go to the table with not just the idea, but who it's for, how it works, how it might get implemented, the roadblocks that you might experience, the benefits of it. Her point is, you got to go that extra mile if you really want to get the buy-in. It's not enough to just try to sell anybody on a big idea. She is so right. And I think this is a lesson for all of us at all levels. We've got to go the extra mile. Now, whether that means experimenting, testing, gathering research and data, looking at the competitive set, whatever it is, build out your idea. Then come to the table with all of that. First of all, you'll learn way more about what will and won't work with your idea. When it's just the idea, we haven't even thought that stuff through. And I think often that's what leads to a lot of the challenging questions from the people we need buy-in from that pushes us back a couple steps. So in taking the time to build out your idea, you'll learn and innovate as you go. So by the time you bring it to the table, it's actually a little bit more battle-tested and an improved idea. And the people on the other side of the table will see all the work that you put into it. And they'll get it. They'll get the idea. They'll see why it's a good one. I think she's so right. We really do. We stop short. And the reality is the ideas don't actually sell themselves. We've got to do the work. Now, this is something I've always done and I believe very strongly in. I believe it very strongly in my team when they come to me that they better have thought through some of this stuff already. And I believe in doing that with my clients as well. But I want to give you a little secret sauce on how to have the conversation as well. Because the next time you present something for approval, I really do want you to go those five more steps than you were planning. Present the entire landscape to your stakeholders. I think you'll be surprised at the outcome. But here's the secret sauce. First of all, I want you to remember that it's just wet clay that you're presenting. This is not about perfection. This is not about everything being 100% right and done and like check off the boxes. This is actually about thoughtfulness and to give people more elements that they can actually build off for a conversation. So let me give an example of that. If I just present my water bottle idea to you and I say, here's my water bottle. It's super cool. It never spills. And in fact, it never even needs to be washed because it's self-cleaning. All right. So that's what I'm giving you to springboard off of. But if I say, here's my water bottle, it never spills and it's self-cleaning. And I think the market for this is people who commute for 2 hours a day because their water bottles get left in car. So they have this problem and they need help with that. Or they take a turn and it comes out of the cup holder and it spills. Or it's for people with kids because their kids are always knocking over their water bottles. I'm making this up as I go, as you can probably tell. But you see my point. Now, you can have a conversation with me, not just about the water bottle, but about this need and these two different demographics that I'm presenting to you. So when we present our idea and build it out, we give people more to work off of. All right, I got a little bit off on a tangent. I want to go back to the secret sauce of wet clay. When you're presenting all this to your stakeholders, whomever that is, whether that's the marketplace or it is your leadership or your team, I want you to remember to use language that makes it clear that you're not presenting an idea that's so thought out, there's no room for their brilliance, or is so thought out, there's no room for adjustments, which we both know those things, if people feel that way on the other side of the table, kills the idea. So when you present it, I want you to say, hey, this is just wet clay. I've done some work in this area. I've got this idea. I've thought about a few things, but it really is just wet clay and I want to have this conversation. Or this is just a nugget of an idea. I'm just at the starting point. I've kind of filled out in the landscape, but I need your help moving it forward. If I come to you and I say that, how does it make you feel? It feels like you are going to be part of the process, which is what we want. We don't want to present ideas to people that are so fully thought out. They feel like you're pushing your brilliance onto them. I found this is a huge key to success in getting buy-in, is doing exactly what Savannah said, which is take it down the road, build it out, do that extra work. And when you're presenting it, particularly on the front end, this may not be true if you're further down the path, positioning it as, hey, I've done all this work and we're just at the start. Always present it as wet clay or a nugget of idea. And always build those ideas out. Okay, from Savannah, we moved on to Chris Chopiak. Chris is an innovation and visual strategist. Super cool combination. In fact, she's an elite certified IQE, our assessment that tells you your innovator style. She's an elite coach. If you're interested in that, by the way, you can go to our website, click on solutions, scroll down, you'll see some information. Reach out to us. We love to have the right people out there coaching and using this tool in their work. So Chris is an instinctual risk taker, very different combination. So the risk taker we talked about a little bit with Savannah, bold, it's all about getting uncomfortable, leaping and figuring it out. Well, the instinctual side is all about a little bit more of a circuitous path of thinking, A to B to X, over to Y, back to A. And because of that, instinctuals tend to be able to see the patterns and the insights in the information. They kind of make new and meaningful connections. They take the seemingly random and they see how it all fits together. Now, she said something in the beginning of her interview that I want you to go back and listen to the full thing about we need to make change predictable, which I know that sounds like you're asking me to clash oil and water, But here's the thing. She's so right. Things are so uncertain. We're asking people to change. But if we don't show people how that path looks, allow them to contribute to the path, connect with others in a way that makes that path possible, change feels really scary and hard. If we can find those nuggets of predictability in the change, it's more likely to get moved down. That's not how I meant it. You're more likely to move the needle forward. Is that the right phrase? I don't know. I always get them wrong, but you know what I'm trying to say. She said something about friction though, and that's what I want to focus on today. She talked about how that friction is something that often divides us. And that was in context of a conversation around different everyday innovator styles. So, you know, you are a fluid imaginative, so you have a very different style of innovation than me. I'm a risk taker experiential. And oftentimes those differences cause friction. So my desire, need to leap and to actually put things into action to be able to even innovate kind of is hard for someone who's a fluid imaginative, who is all about taking that mess and creating concise innovation and playing in the novel, the new, the gaps. Very different styles. So you can see maybe we have some friction. What she said, though, which is, I think, so important for all of us to remember, is instead of letting that friction divide us or trying to change each other to match each other's style, meaning I try to be more like you, you try to be more like me, or we meet somewhere in the middle. She said, instead of that, what we need to do is lean into it. And she gave an example of someone who has inquisitive as part of their power triggers. And inquisitive is all about questions, innovations in the questions, not the answers, dig, dig, dig. And she said that person was making her really frustrated. But then she realized, oh, that's the inquisitive side in them. So what she does is she brings out the best in people by actually playing to the thing that makes them different and unique and valuable. So for example, for the inquisitive, she said, you know, I asked them, like, give me 5 more questions to help me think this through. Challenge me. And she said, you know, that lights them up and we get the incredible value of all of our styles together. What we discovered in our IQE styles, to no surprise, is that each one has a different thing that lights them up. You know, if you have a futuristic on your team, someone who's all about Tomorrowland, the future, the impact, 10 steps ahead, play a game of what if with them. Watch them light up and bring their strength to the table. If you have a risk taker, tell them to make the ideal bolder. Ask them to push you and the team forward into those uncomfortable spaces. You'll see them light up and bring their best self. For experientials, have them test, experiment, go to some corner and actually play out the idea. They will love it and bring incredible thinking back. For the collaborative, go have them seek out other experiences and bring that knowledge back, pull it together the way they do so well. We often see friction incorrectly. And Chris made me realize that I don't think I'm even leaning into the differences as much as I should. So in my last team meeting, I experimented because I'm a risk taker experiential. That's what I do. And I leaned all in. So the inquisitive got room for questions. I actually asked them for more questions at the end of the meeting when I wanted to turn off my Zoom and go do something else. The fluid got to lead the part of the meeting that was messy and ambiguous because they are so good at taking that ambiguity and turning it into concise innovation. The instinctual, we're looking at all these charts. I asked them to tell us what insights they see in the data. I didn't just put the responsibility on them to bring out their best everyday innovator style. I intentionally set the meeting to give them a chance to shine. Chris made me realize that. Totally game-changing, best meeting we had about our podcast ever. I suggest that you do the same. Find that friction and lean into it. We have these different everyday innovator styles. Each style has a way that they add value and cause friction. And it's the friction part that if we actually leaned into it, could become our greatest competitive advantage. Now, if you don't know the everyday innovator styles of your team, easy. Go to our website, click on shop. You can order it for your team. And the cool part of it is your team is big enough, we can actually create a heat map for you that shows you visually where everybody is, where you have strengths, where you have gaps. The point here that I want to make is find that friction and lean into it hard.
You're listening to Conversations with Everyday Innovators on With Tamara Gondor podcast. Let's take a moment to thank our generous partners that make this possible.
Can't wait to share this product with you. It's made a huge difference in my household. It's Howdy Puppy, the premier CBD pet treats for dogs. Now, for those of you who know me, you know I have a 100-pound mastiff named Zoe Bear, and she is a cuddle bun, but she's 10 years old, and she suffers from two things. First, from the aches and pains of old age. We go for these long walks that she loves, but afterwards she's got joint stiffness, and it's hard for her to get up off the floor. And she suffers from a little bit of anxiety. She doesn't love new people. So when you come over to my house, she tends to bark. She gets really anxious. She gets very riled up. So I started giving her CBD pet treats. And guess what? It has helped tremendously with both. Now her aches seem to be a little bit better. She doesn't have as hard of a time getting up off the floor. She recovers faster from our walks. And when people come over, she's less riled up. She's able to handle it better. CBD has been proven to help with aches of old age, joint stiffness, nightmares, anxiety, separation anxiety, stress, hyperactivity. I really encourage you to go check out the website. And here's the best part. It comes in three flavors, steak, bacon, and cheese wraps. And the steak look like steaks and the bacon look like bacon. And yeah, the cheese wraps look like cheese wraps. So it's so much fun to give it to them. I'm giving Zoe a little bit of steak or a little bit of bacon or cheese every day. It's so great. She loves them. I love what it does for her. It's a win-win. And hey, if you're new to CBD pet treats like I was, I encourage you to go check out the website because on there they have blogs that talk about the efficacy and the safety of it. This product is great. It is USA grown, USA processed and produced. It is non-GMO. The list goes on and on. But go to the website and check it out. And if you've got a dog that suffers from those aches and stiffness or anxiety or hyperactivity, this might be the product for you. Howdy Puppy. I will put the link in the show notes. And in full disclosure, I love it so much that I am a founding investor and partner. So good. Howdy Puppy. Okay. We went from visual strategy and innovation expert to Supriya Surrender, who is an alopecia advocate, and she is an imaginative risk taker. And imaginative is all about novel, the gaps, creating new, charting new territory. They bring novel innovation to the table. And the risk taker is all about that bold, leaping, figuring it out as you go, needing to be uncomfortable to innovate best. So Supriya, as an imaginative risk taker, brings novel, bold innovation to the table. I'm sure you heard it in the story she tells about getting alopecia. I'm sure you heard it in the story that she told and the roller coaster ride she took us on about first realizing that her hair was falling out to realizing she had alopecia to the roller coaster of, oh my God, who am I? You know, my identity has changed and how I look has changed. I look in the mirror and I don't even recognize myself. Can you imagine how hard that must have been? To taking this really tough challenge that she had and turning it into the thing that springboarded her to her best life ever. And she really went from a place of feeling totally out of control to in control. And I think that's a really relevant piece of insight right now. So much feels so out of our control, doesn't it? The world has created so much uncertainty, things bigger than we could ever impact. But what Supriya talks about that I think is so relevant to all of us is she talks about how her journey from control, out of control to in control was not about suddenly like, you know, switching everything one day overnight. It was about taking little chunks of control. And over time, all those little chunks added up to her being the one in the captain's chair. So this week, I've been feeling particularly out of control. Have you? I've been feeling, you know, we're in the middle of, or almost, I guess, at the end of January, and things are still up and down in business. Clients are canceling. Clients are joining and paying. You know, we have to wear masks. We don't have to wear masks. I just read this morning that a flight was turned around for someone who didn't want to wear the mask and everybody got turned around. And then, you know, vaccine versus not vaccine. And this is not about a political statement, by the way, or where I stand. And then the great resignation and restaurants sometimes are open when you go to them, not open when you go other times. All of this is uncertainty. That's my point here. And so this week I thought, well, this is a really good week to really dig into this insight that Supriya gave me. I went through my week and I wrote down everything in my control. I mean, everything down to the nitty gritty. Turns out it's a lot more than I realized. It's everything from what time I went to bed to what time I got up, if I hit the snooze or not, which, oh, by the way, I never hit snooze. I believe that decision happens the night before. and I don't want to start my day procrastinating. But do you hear the control in that? And I feel good having that control. What I ate during the day, how I respond to an email. If I decide to seize an opportunity, if I decide to half-ass it or not. By the way, I whole-assed and went after this opportunity and I got it. And that was a decision I got to make. That was in my control of how I was going to go after this opportunity. And what I learned is that I had a lot more in my control than I thought. And that gave me a sense of joy and ease, frankly, it gave me a deep breath that I needed. And there were more places that I was controlling or had control than I realized. Also, I found it easier to be creative with that undercurrent of control. I didn't feel so frantic and overwhelmed when I realized, oh, hey, you know what? 80% of my world is controllable. Definitely easier to see the ideas and the opportunities when you have an undercurrent of control. So what I want you to do is I want you to take this week and write down all the places you already have control. And then I want you to look for ways to add more small chunks like Supriya did. The sense of ease and creativity will dial up. I also think there's a sense of happiness and joy. I think control brings us that. Feeling out of control brings us fear, anger, rage, frustration, all those kind of the other side of the spectrum. And in doing this exercise, you know, just to loop back to that for a minute, I realized, whoo, I have all this stuff in my control. And also, I'm going to go after these areas. That isn't my control. I make that choice to whole ass it and go after those opportunities or to not go after those opportunities or to make that problem bigger or smaller than it needs to be. Right? That's all stuff that I have in my control. So I really appreciated this one, especially given the times that we're in. And you know, just the other day, I was on a call with an old friend I hadn't caught up in a while. And she just said, you know, this week is weird. I just feel more out of control this week than I have before. And I gave her this exercise. And this was a Monday. She called me Friday and said, wow, I feel so much better now. And I really encourage you to write it down, not just think it. There's something really powerful in that connection between the hand and the mind when we actually write stuff down and we can actually see it add up. When it's just in our mind, we can kind of brush it under the rug or ignore it or give it a moment and walk away. When you see it on that piece of paper or in your app, that's where you see how it all adds up. Okay, to round out the week, we have Jake Dunlap, who is an inquisitive collaborative. So inquisitive is all about that deep innovations in the questions, not the answers. And that collaborative, collaboratives are all about pulling disparate people and ideas and experiences together to create whole innovation. So as an inquisitive collaborative, he brings deep and whole innovation to the table. I'm sure you can see how that might be very powerful. And his whole thing was about stop reinventing the wheel. I thought that was such great advice. And he talked about how, you know what, you don't have to start it from scratch or from zero. You could start at step four. And he said what he learned in his career, what he got really good at and actually helped him excel, was looking around and going, oh, look what's happening over there. That's interesting. I want to see how I can apply that to my world. Oh, look, this thing over here is working really well. It's successful. I wonder if I can pull a nugget of that into my world. How can I use that? I love what he said about this. I think all too often we spend so much time spinning our wheels, trying to come up with this breakthrough blue skies innovation that nobody's possibly thought of before, when we could springboard off of what we see all around us. Now, to be clear, this is not about stealing. This isn't actually for me even about best practices, but it's about looking at other people's worlds, finding the innovation, and then molding it to fit how we could use it. And this really is in alignment with my whole thing about rearranging the box you have versus thinking outside the box. If you've seen any of my videos or brought me in to speak or taken the IQE even, you know that I'm all about rearranging the box you have. And I think Jake added another layer to that, which is rearrange the box you have and put more things in the box. Look elsewhere and put those in the box too. I love that. So I've got a great exercise for you to do. What a great one to end this podcast episode on. Here's what I want you to do. And you can do this solo or with your team. I want you to make a list of the top five innovative companies. And I don't mean innovative because, you know, you've heard about them and they're the cliche ones like Apple, Southwest, who else is on that list? And I'm not saying they're bad. If those are yours, they're yours. But I want you to pick the ones that really speak to you. The ones that you love, admire, could talk my ear off about why they're so innovative and why they're so meaningful. The ones that you spend your money on. I want you to put those on a piece of paper somewhere. Then I want you to brainstorm all the things they do that are super innovative and all the things they do that work, that make them just so brilliant. So a while back, I was trying to figure out how to build the community and actually bring some more incentive to the table for people to go from one level to the next level to the next level. So I went, I thought, all right, well, what's one of my favorite, most innovative companies right now? Well, it's Peloton. I love my Peloton. And what I love about it is the leaderboard and how I can have my friends and I in the classes together and we're competing against each other. I love that. I love it. I can go see what classes I've taken, my personal records. I can see my track record. I get a little notice that says, you know, Greg is on a 5-day streak and I can high five him. So I love the leaderboard. I think what they've done there is brought community to a virtual world, and it's super cool. And I was trying to figure out how to do this in my world. So I took what they did and said, okay, I can't do exactly that. And I don't want to. That's not 100% right. But what in that can I leverage in my world to drive community? And that's when I created these chat boards inside our membership platform. So if you have the digital magazine, right, you can actually comment on the magazine. It's why I put downloads in there for people to do and to share. So looking at Peloton gave me all these other ideas. So that's what I want you to do. Pick those top companies, the ones that you love and admire and spend your money on. Brainstorm all the super innovative things that they do that you love, that work for them, that make them successful. Then, once you've filled up the page, or two or five, I want you to do what Jake did, and I want you to mind map how you can apply it to your world, your challenges, your opportunities, your job. I promise you, there is a wealth of new ideas hiding in plain sight with this exercise. And the best part is, what you'll find is that if you're doing this with a group of people, whether that's colleagues or leaders or even customers, the different people have different companies that speak to them, and you'll get different perspectives and different ideas out of that. I did this exercise recently, and I was surprised by some of the companies they brought. Bombas was one of them, the sock company. Target, haven't heard that one on my list for a while, but this person loved Target. Sam's Club for their Scan and Go app. So you'll just absolutely be amazed at what comes out of this exercise. All right, that is this week's wrap up. What a good week. All our weeks are amazing. I feel so fortunate to do what I do and interact and meet all these incredible people and share their brilliance with you. And I hope that you will do the same with me. I would love to know what your ahas are, your nuggets of wisdom, your insights, what you're getting out of the podcast, who or what you'd like me to interview. Hey, we've got a sheet on our website on the podcast page to nominate yourself or anybody else in your world. As you can see from the diversity of people, this isn't about people with innovation books. This is about people of all experiences and types and ages and geographies and just how they've ignited innovation in some way in their world. Big, small, and everything in between. All right, with that, Tamara out.
Congratulations. By listening to this podcast, you took another step towards becoming an everyday innovator. To leap forward, visit www.gotolaunchstreet.com and take the Innovation Quotient Edge Assessment to discover your unique everyday innovator style and access the Everyday Innovator Digital Magazine for the top tools, insights, and inspiration at your fingertips 24/7. Tamara will be back with another Everyday Innovator conversation soon. In the meantime, if you got a nugget of value out of this podcast, let Tamara know by leaving a 5-star review and comment. Your review equals more guests, more listens, bigger impact. Until next time.